I want to use some scripture this morning out of the Old Testament from the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. And this is during the time that Gideon was a judge of the people. And the children of Israel had done like so often we do today. They had been blessed of the Lord, but in spite of the blessings of the Lord, they had become careless. They had become a people that had failed to follow the Lord as they should. And as a result of that, the Lord then had allowed them to have the enemy come in and effectively overtake them. Gideon is out. He's trying to find enough food, scrape together enough food for himself, for his family, and for his herds. And unfortunately, what had happened was at this point in time, the people who had come in, the Midianites, who were the enemies, they had watched until it was just about harvest time, and then they'd come in and they would reap the harvest and without doing the work. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning that if you're here as one of God's children, God is good and God is gracious, but He expects you to work, every single one of you. And so you need not expect that we're going to come in here next week and we're going to have a great big hoopla revival if there hasn't been any work done. And so you can kind of just keep that in mind and think, okay, how much have I done? How much am I willing to do? How much am I going to do? Because there will be some of it that's going to be your responsibility as well as mine. And I think the Lord has a right to expect from each one of us as His children to be about His work and taking care of His business. But anyway, Gideon's out here and he's trying to find enough food. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now the angel of the Lord comes unto Ezekiel, or unto Gideon, and says, the Lord is with you. I know sometimes that we get the feeling that maybe that the Lord has forsaken us, that maybe He's not blessed us the way that we think that He should have, maybe that we're not receiving just what we think that we're entitled to. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord many times is working His will in our lives, and we need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us as individuals. So often we like to think about where the church is. I think of that many times as a pastor. Where are we at as a church? The bottom line is the church isn't going to be anywhere that individuals aren't. We've got to come down to the least denominator here, and that is the individual. And that's what determines where we're at spiritually in the work of the Lord. Not what everybody else is doing, but what I am doing. What am I doing? Gideon, at this point in time, he's out here, and the angel of the Lord says, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, you know, if the Lord is with me, why is all this happening to me? Why is this happening? He says, where is the Lord? I've heard all of my life about how the Lord brought up His people out of the land of Egypt, and He brought them through the desert, and He blessed them, and He was good to them, and He provided for them, and He did all these things for them. Here we are out here now. We're scrounging around just trying to survive. Where is that Lord that was so good? I'm sure once in a while that people get this idea in their heads. Well, what's happened to the Lord? What's happened that we don't have the blessings that we once had? I hear every once in a while, and I think every once in a while, as I'm reading, as I'm studying, and just as I'm thinking about some of the revivals that we've had in the past. I think, what's happened to us that we don't see those anymore? I know what's happened to us. It's just difficult to have to admit to it. that we're not as concerned, we're not as committed as we were at one point in time. It used to be, you know, that whenever we begin to talk about revival time, and granted, they only had revivals maybe once a year, and that's basically about what we're down to here. We've skipped a year or two. But you know, they look forward to that time, and they plan for it, and they expected there was going to be revival. I don't know what your expectations are. I've not heard much among our people in discussing our revival meeting. I don't know whether that you're excited about it or whether you're saying, oh, Lord, we're going to have to go through this. We're going to be here for no telling how many nights, because the church left it open in. And so it's basically going to be up to the preacher as to how much we're going to be here and how much we're going to have to go through. I hope that that's not the case. I hope that you're looking forward to it and saying, Lord, send us revival. Revive us as your children. Save lost people, and that we can do it. The Lord, the angel speaks unto Gideon and says, the Lord is with you. He's going to deliver the children of Israel, and he's going to do that through you. And Gideon says, who am I among all the people there are that the Lord would choose me to be the one to lead these people out here and fight against the Midianites? Now, some of you are thinking this morning as a child of God, who am I that the Lord would want to use me to help get the message out to somebody who's lost? I'm going to tell you who you are. You're one of his children. You're one of the people that he was gracious and good enough to save your soul, and he has every right to expect from you the very least to be able to tell somebody else about what the Lord has done in your life. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be the best there is of whatever there is to be done. But you do have to be you. And you have to be sincere. And it has to come from your heart. And you have to allow the Lord to take you and use you and let him do it his way. We get so indoctrinated in how we're supposed to do things that we forget sometimes that we are individuals and God deals with us as individuals. And he isn't going to have you doing things the way that everybody else does them. I've told you many, many times that was a very difficult lesson for me to learn in preaching, was that I can't preach like other preachers. I can't do the way they do. It's not comfortable for me. It's not me. And so I have to do just as I am. And God then can take and use that for however he wants to use it, wherever he wants to use it. Now then, after that, that Gideon has been convinced, and it takes some convincing. He had to try the Lord a few times. And some of you are probably going to have to be convinced. I can't convince you. I'm not going to be able to persuade you. I know that. I know that it's going to take the Lord speaking to your heart for you to be convinced that you are one of his children that can be used in his work. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. But after Gideon has been convinced and God has showed him on different occasions that truly he's going to have Gideon lead this people, the word of the Lord says, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now, y'all know the story. I'm not going to give you any new revelation this morning about what's going to happen here. We're going to start out with 32,000. We're going to lose 20,000 of them right away. We're going to get down to 10,000, and then we're going to get down to 300. Just that simple. But I guess it didn't work after all, Bill. Bill and I have a lot of ideas sometimes when we're fishing, and when it fails, why we say, you know, we didn't have such a good idea. Well, you saw me call him up here, say, hey, we need to open these doors to get some ventilation through this room, because I was picking up a pretty strong odor of the glue out there, and I didn't want to be high up here and trying to preach. So And for those who are not here or watching this, if there are any, we're in a temporary situation here. But anyway, that idea of getting some circulation just doesn't fly very well. We still got a little breeze coming through here, so I'll be all right up here. Thank you, anyway. Gideon, you've got too many people. You've got 32,000 people that are ready to go out here and fight. That's how many that you've numbered here to go out here and fight against the Midianites. But that's too many. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to get out there and say, "Boy, you know, look what we were able to do. We were able to do this ourselves. We didn't need anybody else. We didn't need anything else. We did this." And that's what happens too many times to people whenever that they begin to talk about and to think about doing something for the Lord. "Well, I don't need him. I know how I'm supposed to do this. I know what that preacher got up and said, or I know what that teacher said, or I know what that trainer said. Forget all those things that I've said. Forget all those things that the teachers have said. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you and leading you to do, because that's what's going to count, and that's what's going to have the effect with the other individual. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care how many of you know the biblical salvation plan. You just need to be able to listen to the Lord as he speaks to your heart and follow him. Trusting, believing. If there's any one thing I've learned over the years is that I can't do anything. I really can't. And it's amazing what God, though, can take and can do through an individual. He really can. He can take it, when he can take someone like me and get the message across to people, I'm amazed at what a miracle that is, that he can take and do that through me. But he can do the same thing through you if you will trust him and if we will follow him. And not get the idea that we can do this ourselves. Gideon, you've got too many people. They'll go out there. I'll give them the victory. And they'll turn around and want to take credit for themselves. If we have a great revival here at Elkton, I will guarantee you it will be because the Lord was allowed to work in the hearts and the lives of you as his children and reach the hearts of those who are lost, that they can be saved. It'll be the Lord. You can't convict a single person. I don't care how many times you go out here and tell them what's wrong with them and what sin is and on and on and on. You can't convict a single person. Not a single one of you. Neither can I. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to do that. The interesting thing is we never know many times when he's working in their heart. And when he is convicting them, I never know when he's working in your heart and directing you as one of his children. But I'm convinced as I stand here this morning that he can do both. And as I cannot convict a person, I cannot convert a person. Neither can you. Not a single one of us here this morning are able to save anybody else. It takes the Lord to do that. It takes the Holy Spirit to guide that person. Now, I'm going to get down here in just a couple of minutes. Gideon, I want you to take and I want you to weed out some of these people. Here's what I want you to do. "Now therefore go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." Okay. 32,000. I want you to go out to those 32,000 and say, "All of you who are afraid, all of you who are afraid to go out here, you turn around and go back home." Now remember, Gideon has already had some question in his mind about whether or not he's the one to be leading these people and whether or not the Lord is going to, even though the Lord has proved to him by the way that Gideon had asked for, three different occasions, the Lord responded, gave him what he asked for. Gideon, send all of them who are afraid back home. Now, if you're afraid that the Lord isn't big enough to do the job, you probably just will not even show up at revival. You aren't going to get anything out of it, and you aren't going to be a good worker for the Lord if you can't trust Him and you don't believe He's able to do it. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, that's pretty tough. It is. It is. Because every one of you as a child of God should know better. You do know better. You know better. You know that God is able to deliver. If God saved you, you know He can save anybody. That's how I know that He can save people, because He saved me, and if He can save me, He can save anybody else. And I've heard and I've seen, and I believe most of you have already been saved. Don't have any doubt in my mind about that. You've demonstrated it time and time again. But it's not a time right now to become fearful and afraid and say, oh, we can't do it. Go back home. 20,000 of them. 22,000, I believe it is. Yeah, 22,000 of them turn and go back home. Can you imagine what old Gideon must have been thinking? Oh, Lord, what have I done now? The lion's share of them have left and gone home. Well, the Lord said they'll think that they've done it themselves if they were to go. And yet they're afraid, they're fearful, so send them back. Let them go home. So Gideon sends 22,000 of them back home. He's got 10,000 left. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Lord said, okay, Gideon, you still got too many people. I, the Lord, will separate them out this time. I will tell you who to take with you and who to send back home. How thankful I am that the Lord doesn't leave everything up to me. If He did, I will guarantee you we'd have a church full every service, and when we got to revival, it wouldn't hold everybody. I'm serious. That's what I love. That's what I like. I do not like to preach to empty pews. I like to do that. I like to preach to people. But the Lord doesn't always ask me what I like. Sometimes the Lord says, you know what? You let me take the responsibility. You let me take control. You let me make the decisions. And His way is always right. His way is always perfect. So get in, you take them down here to the water, and I want you to let them drink. So He brought them down, the people, to the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, I've thought about that so many times, and I've wondered now, how in the world, what's the story there in whether you lap the water up or whether you got to put it down on your knees and got a drink? I would have to tell you, I've got to hurry up because I'm watching the clock, so my time is about up. But I've got to tell you just a little personal story, and I never read this particular portion of Scripture when I don't think about it. Years ago, when I was preaching in Santa Paula, I guess quite often I use the term, this is the real gospel. This is the real gospel. And Diamela, our daughter, was probably 4 or 5 years old. We came back here on vacation, and I had taken her off down to the river, down the Pumditar River, down to Jenkins Ford one day to fish. Hot in the summertime, gnats and flies and everything were bad, and she's getting tired, and so I finally said, well, maybe we better go. So we start up, we had to walk out of there then. We start out there, and I knew there was a little spring just up there a little ways, and so I said, we'll go by and get us a drink of water. And so we go up there, and she said, well, how are we going to get a drink of water? You know, I said, well, let me show you. So, Marta, I just get down on my hands and knees, get down on my stomach, you know, and I drink out of the spring. Now, in those days, we could still do that, folks. Believe it or not, some of you don't believe that you can do things like that, and we weren't going to die instantly. Anyway, I get down, and I get a drink. And I said, after I got through, I said, now that's what you need to do. And so she gets down and she gets a drink. She stands up and she looks up and she says, hey, she said, this is the real gospel. I just thought that was so cute, you know. I mean, that to her, that was as high a compliment as she could give to me. This was the real gospel. So, you know, so sometimes, you know, when I read something like this and I think, what is this? The difference here, you know, those that lap the water up, the only thing that I've come up with is that those who lap the water up as the dog lappeth the water, they kept their eyes up. They kept their eyes up. They didn't look down. They were watching what was going on. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to pay attention to what's going on. We need to look up. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh the Lord, from the Lord. We need to lift our eyes up. 300 of them lapped the water as a dog. 9,700 of them get sent back home. 32,000, and he's got 300 left. And the Lord says, by those 300, I will give you the victory. If you think for a single second that it's impossible for the Lord to come along to you and to give us a revival like we've not had here since I've been here, go home. Gotta have a little more faith. I want you to come back with a little more faith. Yeah. I'm not trying to go home and stay. What we really need is some of those who have gone home and stayed back. They need to be here. And it may be that maybe the Lord will speak to your heart about it. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do in your heart and your life. But I will guarantee you he's not going to leave it all up to me to get the job done.